Welcome to episode 4F10, Mountain of Madness, original air date February 2nd, 1997. I'm Josh Weinstein, executive producer, showrunner.
Mark Kirkland, animation director. This was done 10 years ago.
Dan Castellaneta, voice of Homer. This was done 10 years ago. I was there.
David Silverman, supervising director. I accept what they say.
And this is Matt Groening, creator of Grandpa.
And we have a special guest in our commentary audience tonight. He's a contest winner. He won a contest last year to appear on the commentaries.
My name is Jim Denton, and I'm from Tallahassee. And thanks so much, everyone, for having me.
It's an honor. Now, are you familiar with the show? Because I know your grandson.
Oh, gosh, I've seen everyone.
Yeah?
Many times, yes.
Well, you, Jim, feel free to chime in with anything. It's great to have, like, an outsider.
Kind of nervous, but okay.
Were you in Tallahassee when you saw this show?
I was, yes. It's on there.
And we'll enjoy, like, a safety drill. But what kind? And meltdown alert.
Now, this episode, the thing that I remember most about this, besides being... Oh, I have to say one thing.
Jim, you got to stay in your seat, though. You can't move around the room.
Yes, Mr. Denton.
I'm sorry.
Can you sit down?
Yes.
You have to stay in a chair so the mic can pick you up.
Okay.
Okay. You okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, the thing I remember most about this episode is it had an infamous rewrite, where we actually did many rewrites on it. And the thing about it, the Swartzwelder script is a finely tooled, crazy German machine. And if you have the wrong engineers try to fix it, it blows up. And that's the thing, because it had great jokes, but we sort of changed the story, and we went through a bunch of drafts. And that's actually why I think this episode came out so funnily, because it's really great jokes.
And a really crazy, crazy plot. And is this the one where Carl and Lenny started coming out as bigger personalities with their banter back and forth?
Yeah, this is the first real sort of Carl-Lenny on their own nice interaction. Yeah, Mark, when you were doing it like in the animatic stage and stuff, do you remember getting a bunch of different rewrites that were crazily changed, or was it fixed by the time you got it?
It was pretty fixed. And when I got the script in the tracks, I liked it. I you know, we all went at it, animators, and thought it was a good episode, but it somehow, as it came more alive, we all fell in love with it.
That's the way. We sort of fell in love with it, then we started hating it midway between, where we were like, oh, what are we going to do? And then somehow we magically fixed it.
Well, it has many, many great bits, like this thing here with Bart and complaining about going to the... Homer's line about, I want to subscribe to your newsletter. It's just really great all the way through the show.
That's what I want to say. Like in the fire drill sequence, too, we heard from kids in school that now when they have fire drills, they actually run around in circles going fire, 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 fire.
it's nice that we're promoting safety.
This is so well animated.
This is a big deal for you, Mark. I remember this was very difficult to get this together.
I want to mention a piece of animation. The very opening shot was done by James Purdom, and it was just a walk of Burns walking in, and he animated that with that jaunty walk. And right from the get-go, I thought he did a beautiful job on that. Watching the story today, I just thought this episode has a very nice balance of where the story is placed.
And it's also, this is probably a hard episode because it's almost all outside of our normal sets. This is a national
park. Yeah, it was a lot of great designing done for this and a lot of great backgrounds for, you know, the whole wilderness and for the cabin as well. I know we worked very hard on that back and forth with you guys getting that right.
Now, this ranger character is based on Al Gore. Those of you who weren't alive between 1995 and 2000, Al Gore was vice president of the United States. And it's another one of Hank's great sort of like...
God, you're condescending.
He's going to do the show when we ask him. He's
He'll
nice
do
man.
It now.
Yeah.
He'll do it now.
Al, if you're listening, you can come do this voice.
He did Futurama.
Yeah.
Twice.
He was
okay.
He's nice.
We're just kidding around, Al.
But anyway, it's another one of Hank's great sort of officious naysaying guys.
Hilarious world's worst employee trophy.
Hey, this sounds like fun.
And the last team to arrive will be...
I want to mention Debbie Silver as the background designer for this.
All right. Yay, Debbie.
There's a lot of fantastic backgrounds.
Yes. Yes. Debbie, take a bow.
What are the backgrounds part of the Interesting.
Those are the parts that aren't in front of the characters. They're in behind. They're in the back.
Like the clouds, you mean?
That, yes, yes.
Okay.
The, yep. She designed all those clouds.
Yeah, I get it.
And that's Fong and...
And the ground, too.
The mountains? Mountains would be...
Yes, yes. Background, she had help on the mountains, but footprints.
I don't think that our character designer did for us is notice Burns' clothing seems to come from another era, which is everyone else has modern, everyday-looking stuff, but Burns looked like Alpine 1936 somehow.
I
was rigged so we'd be teammates.
Well, now, I would never have picked up on that. That's just not, I mean, I love the show.
That's why we're the pros.
You think, you, think you see everything, you know, and then you hear something like that, it just makes your head spin.
So we didn't waste our time on it. But, yeah, look at those knickers.
This is a nice bit.
That's a credit to Joe Wack, our character designer.
Ready, Mr. Burns?
This is that a Schwarzweiler idea?
It seems very... I think that went through many incarnations too.
Right. But it seems very Schwarzwelder-like.
Yeah, the thing is, like, he turned in a great script, we made it really bad, and then we turned it back into a
Wait, I love this gag.
Who can prevent forest fires? You pressed you, referring to me. That is incorrect. The correct answer is you.
He just gets mad at it.
Okay, but when you start getting apples...
I like that Maggie's completely a starfish in this scene.
This was also back when the idea of a national forest and national park was sort of boring, but now the Park Service has gotten with it, and now they're embracing the extreme nature of stuff. But this was back when parks seemed boring.
Think this episode did it?
I think it turned it around.
Turned it around. Turned out.
Why, thank you, Simpson. I have been watching my figure.
And this, we really like this episode, too, because it's the first time, really, that Smithers hung out with Bart and Lisa, as you'll see in a minute.
Oh, that's right.
And it's a good, I think it's sort of trying to figure out interesting pairings for everybody.
Yeah, Burns and Homer are actually a good team. They're really fun to watch just as a team, and we've done them a couple times together, but this came out in this one.
Yeah, and this is another thing I like really about this episode. It's another episode where Homer's really thoughtful. He's like very sort of like a...
He's always walking on eggshells around Burns.
Was this Schwarzwelder's idea?
I think it was.
No, after 12.
Tell me, Simpson.
I talked to Schwarzwelder yesterday. He still refuses to do commentaries.
Has there been...
But he did thank me for mentioning his novel.
He now has two novels.
And he's almost done with a third.
Oh.
Cheating.
Yes, a lot of hysteria.
Mm-hmm. If you can take advantage of a situation...
And he said he appreciated me hyping his book on these commentaries. He said it affected sales. So I'm getting a copy of the next book for free.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Well, buy John
in exchange for this.
Buy John Schwarzwelder's two books, the Time Machine Did It, and what's the other one?
It was memorable, but...
I won't get it.
I won't get it.
It's a Western, right?
Go on to Amazon.com. It's kind of like having John here, because he'd be plugging his books. So
has there ever been any talk of going to Schwarzwelder's house and recording him?
He won't do it. We said we'd bring a microphone to him.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do it.
He might shoot at us.
Could we just have him say general things, and then we could just blow
it? We wanted him... David Merkin said, can we just put a microphone in front of your face and say, will you do a commentary? And you say no.
By the
way, wouldn't do that.
I hate to interrupt, but you do a very good impression of John Muir here.
Oh, I'd like to tell you about this John Muir thing. Was I actually... There's a fella at what's the national park?
Yosemite?
Yosemite. And there's a guy who did... John Muir, so I did an imitation of that guy, but not that guy. And I think it was, I don't know if it was you were directing it, Josh, or somebody, but they didn't like it.
I think we wanted to make it older and you just crazier, like a mountain coot than a...
Yeah, a mountain coot.
But it is like you were keeping the voice of John Muir alive.
I was like, I was doing a, he had, the guy did it like a Scottish brogue, you know, but thank you. That's the way... And I said, that's the way the guy who does John Muir does it. Not knowing maybe if that was the way John Muir talked.
It's headed out from generation to generation.
But yes, from now on, anybody who tries to do John Muir will be based on
you. Now be based on me.
By the way, I would watch a TV show called Mountain Coot.
That's a great...
Stay away from my
mountain.
Gosh, you're in mountains.
John Muir, thank you, Mr. Denton, because we like to sort of add historical context. John Muir, did he sort of found the national park system?
Yes. The Sierras. I believe Teddy Roosevelt signed in and protected a lot of Yosemite and stuff based on John Muir.
I love it coming to these commentaries unprepared and just talking out of our asses.
That's not true. We're speaking right into the microphone.
I found another hurt shrew. I think this one has a twisted ankle.
Well, you can't find any of this information on the internet. You have to come here for this stuff.
The animals in this forest.
Well, I don't suppose the others will mind us starting the party early, homie old boy.
Well, they got there first.
From cheating.
Thanks to cheating.
Now, this begins the really nice, warm-hearted sequence that turns crazy and paranoid.
Well, you had this whole scene. I remember you had the scene with hallucination, where they get crazier and crazier.
That's in here.
But, I mean, you had another one that was even, like, nuttier. I remember you were working on with... I do remember this was, like, really, really nutty. I mean, this is tame by comparison.
Oh, I could go for one of those right now.
Well, I have to remember. I'll bring it up again when we see the hallucinations.
Did it get animated?
That's a little piece of animation by Matthew Nestick, my AD. That little sliding down.
Very nice. Yeah. Yes.
As I, if I could say something here, as I watch this and I watch Homer, and then I look over at Dan, and he doesn't act like Homer or sound like Homer. He doesn't resemble Homer in any way whatsoever. It's fantastic.
But you're looking at Matt Groening.
Oh.
I do the voice.
Right. No. I. But even the voice sounds different than your voice. I mean...
Well, wait a minute. Let me...
I have a bit of a cold.
There it is.
There it is.
That's it.
Hey, you are Homer.
Amazing.
Wow. You weren't lying.
So, Dan, how often do people ask you to do Homer out in public? Does it happen on a daily basis?
You mean people
basis?
Who are out in public who ask me to do Homer or ask me to do it out in public?
No, you mean. You know, in malls. At
malls?
Del Taco.
I do.
Wherever you hang out.
I'm making appearances. They even promote that at Del Taco. Homer today from 2 to 4.
Wow.
Very rarely, because people, of course, as our friend from Tallahassee notes, that I don't look like... Homer or sound like it, so very unless they has seen me on a talk show.
But you're wearing that sequin jacket that says "I am Homer,"
or if they see my jacket.
That's a great thing, though, isn't it, for you, Dan? I mean, on one hand, you can be like one of the most famous characters on TV, and at the same time, you have your privacy.
That's right.
I don't want your privacy.
I don't have the career that Homer has, but I do have my privacy.
Hey, maybe there is no cabin. Maybe it's one of them metaphorical things.
Oh, yeah, like, maybe the cabin is the place inside each of us created by our goodwill and teamwork.
Oh!
This is the stuff where Carl and Lenny, we hadn't really seen this kind of repartee, have we, with them?
This guy, Schwarzwelder, who wrote it? Why does he not want to do the commentary? I don't understand that. He wrote it. Why wouldn't he want to do the commentary?
He's an eccentric recluse.
Really?
Yes.
But once you start talking to him, he's quite chatty.
Yes.
Yeah, he's very chatty.
Yeah. Well,
that's
he's lonely.
He's a recluse.
But he's a hermit.
He's a lonely hermit.
I mean, this is an episode about mountains. Does he live in the mountains? Away from, like, towns?
He lives on a hill.
He lives on a hill, yes.
Again, that's really complicated animation, beautifully done.
Did a great job. That's a nice pose, too, at the end, I must say. This show looks great. We don't mean not to talk about the show as what you're doing here, Mark. It's fantastic all the way through.
Well, I have to credit my team, and especially Matthew Nestick.
This was a bit when we did the table read, we would pound our fist on the table to create the avalanche.
That's, yeah, Fox told us to stop. It was damaging a table.
But it got a huge laugh at the table, I remember.
Was that writer John Schwartzwelder at the table read?
I think he was, yes.
No.
No?
No.
He wasn't.
He rarely showed up, right? He turned in his script and...
Yeah, he'd drive in his crazy old Cadillac and literally hand the script out the window. He would often not actually get out. And, you know, you'd stay and talk to him for like 20 minutes.
He's like the paper boy. He just threw it at everybody.
A new Schwartzwelder script this morning.
Wow, that is eccentric.
No, I invited him to a party yesterday.
Yeah,
he
really?
Says, I won't be there.
Pretty pleased, was he?
Yes. You're right. John was at the table reads at the beginning, but then he just sent in his scripts.
But we've been writing the movie for quite some time, and he comes in for that every day.
But as he says on his novels, he has probably written more episodes than anybody on the show.
59.
Wow.
Which says in the front of his novels.
Is that the name of his last text novel?
It says, written by the writer of 59 Simpson episodes.
Or old 59, as we call them.
No books, no radio, no board games. Ah, a Bazooka Joe comic.
Of course, he doesn't have a social life, so I guess that's where he has the time, right?
We could build snowmen.
No, I have a better idea.
I like Homer's idea of building snowmen.
Again, he's a thoughtful, helpful guy. And also part of the idea was this, how awkward it would be to be trapped in a place of your boss.
Of course you'd burn a moose head.
Yes.
Fine. Good. I don't care anymore. I'm the last one here. You kids cost me my job.
You ain't last, Mr. Smithers.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, Burgee and Homer never made it.
Hush, silent fellow on us. We just got entranced in the story. Sorry.
So he is building a snowman. I forgot.
This begins the big crazy
thing. But I'm trying to remember what the crazy things you guys wrote was, because I remember and you guys were rewriting before the script was turned in, and you had really, really crazy things. Even crazier than what we're about to see.
It is. I think it was so crazy that I banished it from my brain.
That was a great drawing there. That shot of them looking back at the snowman. I always
Now, wait a minute. Both guys are bald, and yet one of them has a comb.
Yeah. Well, look at all that hair that Burns has a comb in the back of his head.
It is. I noticed watching this how degraded their characters appear, and this is only a few hours after being trapped.
We had to sort of accelerate.
It went crazy pretty fast.
Yeah.
It's like one more minute, they would have been eating each other.
How is this so many nice people?
Quiet. One of the things my family likes so much about Mr. Burns is that he's so weak. Whenever, like, I can't pick up something or anything, the kids are always making fun of me for being Mr. Burns.
That's how old are you?
I'm 51. Who had the idea of Mr. Burns being so weak? Is that a writer idea or an animator idea?
That's a good question. When did that first start?
Well, all the characters start out with tendencies, and then as we try to top ourselves, Burns becomes very weak when we need him to be. Surprisingly spry when we need him to be.
He could dance real well. But there was a bit where he was going to break I'll crush him like this paper cup, and he couldn't crush it. I think that may have been the first indication of Mr. Burns' weakness. I know what he's up to.
Now, the reason also this got so crazy was this was at the height of the crazy rewrite, where everyone was really exhausted and angry, and it got crazier and crazier.
This is just like the writer's room.
Well, you had that in this, but you had even a crazier army, as I remember.
There's another one coming.
Yeah. But there was even crazier and crazier stuff.
It's a really good character, Chairman Mao.
But Homer had this other line, too. The first time Burns starts talking crazy where he's thinking to himself, and he said, okay, Mr. Burns is going crazy, well, I better say something, and he yells out, farm experiments!
This was tricky, animation-wise, to make this at all believable, because it's so crazy.
Completely believable. What are you talking about? It's a rocket-powered house.
We tried to make it look like it made some kind of sense.
It did. You know, it's absolutely well done.
I'm buying one next week.
There was debate about, is a rocket house too crazy? And at this point in the episode, it's like, no, it's perfect. Fine.
Look, what's that?
That was the great thing. You have to freeze frame to see it, but there's a little squirrel right there,
there
jumps out of the way. But it's really, if you freeze frame each little frame, it's really
exciting. Horrifying.
We're over here, homie!
Oh, something's wrong with its brakes.
That's a great line.
And it also skids to a stop as a rocket house would.
Yes.
Slowing down in the snow.
Again, just a few hours they've been trapped, and look at them.
Have you people forgotten a little competition? Last one in the cabin is fired! You're fired, Lenny.
Ah, nuts!
So, how did we do?
It's a new record, sir.
There was also debate about firing Lenny, because it seemed sort of too sad.
We're all last.
But it was Harry Shearer firing himself, so.
See?
Go, can't fire me. I'm going to give him a piece of my muscle.
Never to be heard from again.
At least, but it kept him from being fired.
Well, Simpson, I must say, once you've been through something like that with a person...
I believe this was a rewrite. In the after the animatic, you had us do this, Josh. This little ending here.
I think it was to have a... Do you remember what the previous ending was?
I think they just were laughing, and then the stairs were... You said, have us do these stairs. That's... Or repeated or something like that came into it.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Denton. I hope it was...
See, the studio guards are here to take me back to my car, so... Thanks for letting me do this, and... I hope I didn't mouth off too much.
No,
it was fine.
Okay,
you guys are all great.
Out, will you?
We thank you for driving all this way from Tallahassee, too.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sorry Fox didn't provide for airfare or hotel.
Oh, it was my pleasure. This is, like I said, everyone in our family loves this show. We've watched it for a decade, and we grew up on you, and God bless you all.
Where did you sleep last night, by the way?
At the, what's it called there? Arthur's Adult Hideaway on Coinga.
Oh,
Lancashire, somewhere around there.